Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for November or something, or rather.
It's the last week. Really slipping on your date thing.
I am. I've kind of, entered this phase where I don't care anymore.
One day is run into another.
Yeah, or it's just...
You don't care.
There's no reason
to care.
You've
given up on the life of this life, and you're now in the darkness of...
Yeah. Or the date just... Suddenly, they
is
broke.
Ennui. Ennui, right.
O-N-W-I, ennui. That's P.G. Woodhouse. No, I just can't. I mean, there's this tunnel. What is it? The tunnel of truth. The tunnel.
Where was that from?
We were listening to a sermon.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
But it's not the tunnel of truth. It's the tunnel of time. It's dark, and I'm in it. There's no light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Because Christmas is coming, and that's not light for you.
No, it's not so much that. It's just like we have three weeks that we have a lot of school. A lot of stuff was assigned before Thanksgiving.
Which is awesome.
It was fantastic. And the house is destroyed. We had to do... So our subject today, I think, is the medieval feast that we had to throw together because our precious little son's assignment is due on the 4th, I think.
He worked really hard putting it together, though. he came in to look at what I was cooking.
Yeah, and offer advice.
Right.
Counsel.
In between going downstairs to play on Xbox.
The assignment said, cook a medieval feast for your family. And what that meant was that we scurried around while little Lord Rowan,
his head was too heavy to lift up, though,
sat in his red velvet chair in his little knight's outfit waiting for the food to arrive. So
yeah,
it was pretty exhausting.
It was exhausting.
And then the poor little thing ate himself sick. I think he was sick afterwards. It was a real feast. Because he was violently ill after. And he kept saying there were too many kinds of food. Too many different kinds of food.
Well, because we had meat pies from the turkey. I made leftover turkey stuff into meat pies, which were, I thought, really good.
That was delicious. It was delicious.
And then with einkorn. So it was real, authentic.
Ancient grain.
And we couldn't use anything that they didn't have. They wouldn't have been able to use in those days. We tried not to. So we didn't have forks.
When we say we tried to use things that they didn't have, we were supposed to make a pottage. And I was not able to lay my hand on ancient peas. So we took peas, regular frozen peas, and did Nigella's delicious, delicious mushy peas with butter and cream. I'm pretty sure that wasn't a thing. In the Middle Ages, the 1200s.
They had a lot of peas, remember?
Yeah, but they weren't peas like our peas.
Right.
They were weird peas that you grew all winter.
And we watched a show where they made pottage.
Yeah, we watched the Tudor Monastery farm.
Where they threw a bunch of stuff in a pot with water.
Yes.
And then
and
topped
out
it
came,
off with bread.
Out
and it
came this disgusting
it looked awful.
Pottage.
So.
Peas, porridge, hot. Right. You can eat it hot, she said. Or you can eat it cold. Or you can eat it after leaving it in the pot for 9 days. 9 days old. It's nasty.
Was that a poem?
Yeah, that's the rhyme. But it's not pea. Like, you always think, why would they leave peas in the pot? Well, because they're not beautiful little French peas that you pick and freeze.
They're hard, nasty...
Ancient peas.
Right.
We should, if we've done ancient grains, we should do ancient peas.
Right. That would be great. That would be horrible. So we had to use all that we could anyway, ingredients.
I mean, there was no turkey in the 13th century.
What do you mean no turkey?
In Europe?
Were they just, yes they were.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They had turkey in the Middle Ages in Europe?
Yes. I'm sure they did. Turkey's not in America. They were turkey all over the place.
I thought turkey was an American thing, along with the sweet potatoes and the potatoes.
No, you're not right. European. I'm Googling this right now because I'm sure European turkeys.
I don't think that's why it was going to be America's national bird, because it was such an American special thing.
I thought that it was because of the character of the turkey was...
ridiculous.
No, it was a...
was noble. The noble turkey. But
turkeys are not native... Right, okay.
Okay, all right.
I'm looking at... You talk. I'm going to look this up.
Well, so... I mean, I've also been online all morning. Amazon priming our entire children's Christmas list desperately, in desperation. Basically, this weekend for me was a time of desperation. I can't believe you're Googling it right now, and you don't believe me.
I can't. Well, anyway, I'm disappointed. So I thought they had turkey.
I thought that you were going to put sweet potato in the turkey pie.
Well, they didn't have sweet potato.
But you didn't. You were so committed to an authentic medieval feast that you left them out, which means we have to eat them later. What does it say?
Nothing.
It didn't say anything.
No, it says it.
Am I right?
Wait, hold on. So,
I'm right.
According to Wikipedia, anyway. So.
Oh no! Well, that's
okay. So, the turkey is a large bird in the genus Milagris, which is native to the Americas.
Ah.
Well, but how early did the Spanish come over?
Well, we were doing our feast for the 1200s. So probably not. They probably had not yet brought turkeys to Europe.
First turkeys in Europe.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm right. And you don't want to admit it.
That's really disappointing, because I thought we had it perfectly authentic.
Well, we had little chocolate. We had little chocolate tarts at the end, and there was no chocolate. And we had an apple pie, and there was no apple. They weren't making fruit pies in the 1200s.
Okay, 1519, the first turkeys were brought to Europe.
I can't believe I'm right. That's so fantastic. I just want to hear you say it one time.
I'm not going
to
say that, because
I just want you to say it one time on the podcast.
They did have fowl, so this was a fowl pie.
I think that you could just say it just the once, just for posterity.
I really can't say it. I can say the fact that there were no turkeys in Europe.
But you can't say you were right.
There were no turkeys. There were related beasts. There were...
Okay. Well, this is awkward.
Let's talk about Cyber Monday.
Okay, so, but the... what I insisted, what I wanted to do for Thanksgiving, and you wouldn't let me do, we did for our medieval feast, which was to push all the furniture in the living room back against the walls and set up for three tables. We had a head table and two tables for the peasants.
Like a U-shaped.
A U-shape.
And so the servants could in between.
Yeah, you and me were the servants.
Right.
And the... And then we turned all the lights off because there was no electric light, and we just had candles and a big roaring fire.
Which was pleasant.
It was beautiful.
Very nice.
It was very nice. And we all sat around eating on boards with a knife and a spoon.
Right. That was hard.
Which really stressed out the youngest child. I mean, she could not cope with not having a plate. She didn't want to eat off a board.
Eleanor?
It was really upsetting to her.
Did you tell her that that's how people used to eat?
Yeah, but she didn't care. Doesn't matter. She couldn't cope. It was so interesting who couldn't deal. And then Aiden was upset because we kept accidentally serving the peasant. Emma was the peasant at the end of the table on a stool. And he was supposed to be
served last.
He was higher in rank than her, but I kept forgetting. And so I kept carving off big pieces of pork.
Right. And yeah, because technically no one should eat anything until the Lord has the first bite, and then you go down the ranks.
Yeah, then you go down the ranks. And it was confusing.
Right. If he likes someone, he can carve them a piece of meat and send it from his
board.
Plate or board to the other person's board as a gift from the Lord. But he didn't
just
do
like
that.
Jesus.
Yeah, just like
So, right. Yeah, it was very nice. The best part about it was that we pulled it together in about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
I mean, you made the pies the day before and bought a pork roast. Again, it shouldn't have been pork, probably. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there were swine, isn't he?
Yeah, there were swine. That's true. So, I don't know if they ate them to the abundance that we did last night, but and we had potatoes, which also upset Rowan. You roasted some potatoes, so we decided that the feast would be in Spain. It would not be an English 13th century feast. It would be a Spanish one.
Why?
Because there were no potatoes in England in the 1200s.
What are you talking about?
Do you want to Google it again? Do you want to go ahead?
Because
there were no potatoes. He learned it in class. He knows that there were no potatoes in Europe, in England in the 1200s. Maybe in Spain.
How did the Irish get them?
Much later. They got them much later. And look what a lot of good it did them. So, the potatoes were delicious. I just hope this never happens to me again. I'm not signing my next kid up for this class. If we have to do a project like this, it's exhausting for the whole family. The whole purpose of signing your kid up for a class online is so that this will never happen to you.
Right.
So.
So, he better get a good grade on it, even though he did nothing but.
I know. I feel like it's a family grade at this point. We need a good grade.
Right.
Because it's all of us together. So. Well, but it was right on the cusp of Thanksgiving, so what was your favorite Thanksgiving food this time? What did you like?
I always like the turkey best. You don't like the turkey?
No, I really... You did a fantastic job on the turkey. It was gorgeous.
Thank you. I'm dying to say what I did. Can I tell people what I did?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I didn't make up this method, but I tried it before. It didn't work as well. I tried it a few Thanksgivings ago, but this time I tried it, and I think I mastered it, and... You put the, you just put a tinfoil breastplate on the breast of the turkey. I mean, of course, it was brined. We talked about last week. You brined the turkey. I did mine for 12 hours. They say to do it less time, but it really, the flavor really got into the meat.
It really was.
Yeah. And it's hard to get you have to really overcook a turkey to make the white meat dry when you brine it. So I wasn't too worried about that, but I wanted the dark meat to cook at the same speed as the. Is a light meat, so I covered the breast with a tinfoil breastplate, 2-ply. And by the time the breast meat was done, I take mine out at 150.
Before, like it says to.
Yeah.
Because it keeps cooking, right?
It keeps cooking, yeah. And the FDA recommendations on these things are just horribly insane. High. Yeah. Don't listen to the FDA. Actually, go read a European cookbook if you want to get really good recommendations for temperatures on pulling meat out. Not an official government one, but just go to websites where Europeans are cooking things, and you'll find better. Go to Nigella's site. Nigella does good.
She takes everything out way early,
yeah,
which is usually
good.
Because
it keeps cooking, and you got to let it rest.
Keeps cooking,
So anyway, took it out at 150, and the dark meat was cooked through and the nicely, and the light meat was not too... wasn't dry, and everything was. And you didn't have to. And the great thing about brining, when you brine, don't add salt to the.
No, to the bird.
To the bird, because it's already thoroughly salted. So I didn't. And I don't think anyone needed it during the meal.
No,
so.
It wasn't. People weren't crying out for salt, but it was not. It wasn't overpowering. It was just. It was well balanced.
Right. Well, anyway, thank you. I was really happy to.
It was delicious.
What was your favorite meal, or partner?
Well, let's see. I mean, it all came together really well. I always think that you should pare back. You know, you insist on doing, for instance, 2 vegetables and 2 kinds of potato. And I always think you should just do 1 really well. Like, for instance, you did gorgeous sweet potatoes, but you forgot to bring them to the table. They were delicious, though, the next day. And I don't usually like sweet potatoes, but these were... roasted really nicely. Oh, and then you did something else with the potatoes this time, the white potatoes, which I thought was clever of you. What's you that? Heated the milk or something.
Because if you don't serve mashed potatoes immediately, they dry up.
And yeah.
They get kind of hard. And so instead of, I had them ready before everything was ready to plate or put on the table. So... I didn't make this up either. I read that you just take a cup of warm milk, heat it up, And right before you serve, put it in the mashed potatoes with some salt and stir it in, and you have, again, it just reconstitutes itself as pretty nice.
Yeah. They were really good, and the people kept sending the potatoes around. The kids overdid themselves on the potato question. Every year the kids eat more of the food, which disturbs me.
I know. We have less and less leftovers, which...
Like, the little bitty Marielle, who's so tiny, had thirds and fourths of potatoes and ate them all. So I was upset about that. I feel like her size...
We should have two menus. We should have a child's menu consisting of things like, you know, tater tots and things that we don't want to eat. That they can gorge on.
Yeah, but then, they're starting to catch on that the food is good at these events. So that's upsetting to me a lot. I liked... We added a table to the dining room and...
And the conversation was good, too, because usually one thing that I...
Yeah, the way that the table was constructed meant that everybody talked together the whole time.
Right. It was nice.
Which was... Usually you have lots of little side conversations going on, and it's hard to get... You can hear other people talking, and you're pretty sure that it's more interesting than what you're talking about. And so then you insert yourself into their conversation, then you realize the one you were in was better. And so you are always in this dance back and forth trying to be in the best conversation.
But this is nice, because someone asked your dad about learning Greek and...
Well, yeah, and we talked about Mugabe, and that was fascinating.
Yeah.
African politics, which is always a fascinating, terrible. No, it was really nice. I thought the food was nice and the day was nice. And we went to bed at 8 o'clock or something, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It was early. It was awesome. Yeah.
So it was a very nice day, and I'm glad we survived. I just can't get over my sense of dread about days like that, because the level of work is so high.
I love Thanksgiving more than any other time of the year. It's so much fun. The whole day in the kitchen.
Yeah, so you got your whole day. The thing that I liked about whatever it was that you did this year was that you didn't call on me in a panic at the last minute to come and cook the vegetables.
I did last time.
Every year. You are in there and you seem happy, and I'm sitting in the living room chatting and having a nice time, and then suddenly you'll call me away to start cooking Brussels sprouts or something. And this time you did everything yourself, which was wonderful. Everybody left you alone, and you were on top of it enough. Somehow your timing was really perfect. So it was all timed really well, and you seemed a lot more relaxed.
I don't know. I think
what you did.
Before, in earlier years, I cooked the vegetables too soon. And
the potatoes too late.
Right, something. Yeah, so, but anyway.
It was very nice. So I hope you do that at Christmas, so that I don't have to participate in that either. The other great thing is that I outsourced the bread to my parents. My father makes much better bread than I do. I'm not sure what he does, but it's fluffy and light, and his rolls are fantastic. So I just took that off my plate. All I had to do was pie, which
I'm not bad at pie.
So that was really nice. And I realized the key to a good Thanksgiving, and it requires your children growing up and participating. Like, I need to teach Emma to make the chocolate pots so I don't have to do that, and other kinds of things in that vein. The children should each have something that they work on over the next 20 years so that we can rely on them to bring it.
We started to teach them how to cook, but they...
It's so hard.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Really
watching.
Hard. It's like, it's horrible watching a child try to cook. You just want them to grow up and learn how to do it themselves.
And Emma kind of knows how to do stuff. You've called her before and said, hey, cook lunch over.
Yeah.
And she's been able to do...
She can do that.
Yeah.
But watching her try to sort it out watching the incompetence of a child is one of the more lowest.
That's why I don't understand how you can do the homeschooling thing so well. because...
What do you mean by so well?
Well, it's...
I think it's that you're not up there and you don't know what I'm doing. But it's why I can't cook with our children.
Remember why I tried...
I can right. do homeschooling, but I can't... I could probably cook with our children if we sent them away to school, you know. But I can't do both. Can't...
Homeschool
and teach them to cook.
Right.
It's too much for me.
The frustration of listening... Emma had a hard time learning how to read. She's a slow reader. I mean, you were too. You didn't start reading till you're 9, right?
Yeah.
And so you didn't... You...
Or something.
And so watching a child...
Learn to read.
Read one word fine, and then come to the very same word...
30 seconds later.
And just have no idea what it says, and start guessing about...
Just about making what, stuff up.
Right. So I very quickly learned that I don't have the patience for it. So...
Yeah.
Now now that, you know, the kids come to Bible study and stuff, so... I can teach them that way.
Yeah, they come in. It's nice. It's like a class.
Yes.
They can ask questions and stuff.
Right.
We divide up the labor.
Yeah.
So, what are you watching?
Somebody's
making a big drum there.
It's like a shield, I think.
A shield. So it's Cyber Monday.
Wants a breastplate.
Yeah, little Rowan wants a real breastplate.
Yeah. That you can hit with a sword. And not...
He also wants the sword of Legolas. So.
Well, his list is like exponentially more expensive than everybody else's.
He has $1,000 worth of stuff on his list, and everybody else has $100.
Well, he is the Laird.
He's the Laird. So, I don't know how to even this up, but yeah, it's Cyber Monday. So, what are your. What's your strategy for Cyber Monday?
Well, I think we should go in and buy all my stuff first, so that we make sure we get the best.
I don't know what you mean, all my stuff. I don't think that we're on the list of did you make yourself a little list for Christmas?
Well, we need a new extender, so we have to do that. But I want to go through, and I guess we have to go get everything on the... We do almost all of our Christmas shopping online.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be able to do that this year because it's complicated.
What do you mean?
When child has something like socks that fit, you know, and a tiny special book. Oh, nice little book. I don't know how to get that on the internet.
There's lots of books on the internet.
Yeah. Nice little book. let's see. A little bonnet. That's great. Where do I get a little bonnet? Nobody can spell the word paint. On any of these lists. I don't know what's wrong with... But yeah, socks that fit me. So, I'm not sure how to do this. Yeah, and some of our children, our poor children, one child asked for a lamp because hers broke. And she knows we're never going to... Unless she puts it on her Christmas list.
She's not going to get it.
And then a chair because my chair broke. Well, you shouldn't have sat on it like that.
You feel like bad parents.
Yeah, at Christmas when they start asking for
a shirt without a hole in it.
A shirt without a hole.
Shoes without...
Socks that fit.
Yeah.
Please, mother, may I...
A portion of food.
May I have a portion of food? No, you're the peasant in the family, so you don't get anything. So... Yeah, it's going to be complicated. Every year it's complicated. You're going to do all the Cyber Monday shopping, and then I'm going to wander around town looking for a small little book. A nice little book. As opposed to a really junky one. So, yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, that's good. I think we're... Do you have any theological or ecclesiological or... Sociological points of discussion, or are you about done? Because this weekend has really destroyed us.
Yeah, this weekend has destroyed me. Yeah. Destroyed me. And I have a mountain of work this week to climb over, so I don't really... I mean, I know that I should care about theology and God in a deep way, and I probably do, but I really can't get past the... fact that I have to pick up all the socks that don't fit off the floor this morning. So I think we'll be back next week to talk about why you should celebrate Advent and how if you put your tree up, you're a bad person.
That's a good idea. We should make...
we should shame our...
The guilt episode.
Our listener.
The Anglican guilt episode.
Right? Yeah. So
next week, tune in.
Tune in for an extra special, super awesome Anglican guilt episode. So until then, we'll be here picking up the socks. So thanks for listening.